We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, September 2nd. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford, and this is Jeff Schwartz Smarring You. We're continuing our season preview with the AFC and the NFC West, possibly the two best divisions to preview as we trug along to the regular season. It will be here soon enough. And we have college football as well. We'll talk some college football lines, my favorite of the week, because guess what, guys? I love all football. We'll talk about that throughout today. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be back. We have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. And besides the picks for the NFC and the AFC West and college football, there's some NFL news that needs to be addressed first.
Yeah, a ton, actually. Why don't we just jump right in? So, surprising news out of New England. Cam Newton released. We were talking a few weeks ago on the show about how he seemed to be, of all of the quarterbacks, the most, with the rookie behind them, the most entrenched. But Belichick decided to part ways with him anyway. Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was trying to talk you into Mac Jones taking the first snap, and you laughed at me. But then I think you actually may have bet it. So I don't know. Were you surprised?
I didn't bet it. Here's the thing about this. Okay, so when this first was announced, I was very surprised, and I'll tell you why. We've talked a lot about how to look into the preseason, and one thing I've said is look at the reps that players get, right? And Mac Jones had not gotten a lot of reps with the ones up until about a week ago. All right. And Cam Newton was then out for 5 days over a COVID testing issue because he had to leave campus for a medical procedure and there was some testing error. And because he's unvaccinated, he had to wait 5 days to come back in the building, which he will have to do now, by the way, once he's released. He'll have to wait 5 days before going to try out or meet or whatever. And I think Cam is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think he will possibly have an opportunity. During those days that Cam was out, Mac Jones was able to play with the ones. They had joint practice with the Giants, and Mac played very well against the Giants. And it kind of gave Bill Belichick a little bit of an idea. Maybe Mac Jones has what it takes to be the starter. But then against the Giants in the preseason game, guess who started? Cam Newton. Guess who played with the ones? Cam Newton. Gets to play with the twos, Mac Jones. And so I just didn't think this was going to happen. But let's think about why Belichick did this. One, we know that playing rookies on a rookie contract as early as possible and get them their feet wet, get them making mistakes, and build the roster around them is very important. Right now, Cam was not making a lot of money, so this was not really a decision based solely off money. But I think that those couple of days where Mac Jones was able to take over for Cam really showed Belichick he could do it. He commanded the huddle, commanded the offense. The players seemed to really like him. Obviously, he was a leader in Alabama. He wasn't making mistakes. He knew what he was doing. And I do think the vaccination status of Cam Newton played a role here. I know people don't like talking about it. It's not fun to talk about. But for a coach who is hell-bent on doing everything possible to win, we know that about Belichick, Cam Newton being unvaccinated leaves them with a lot of possible concerns about him not being able to play each week, Matt. And I feel like that was a big part in this decision. Now, was it the only reason why? Of course not, right? Mac Jones earned the right to be the starting quarterback. But was it a reason why they didn't keep him as a backup? Hell yes, it was. Hell yes, it was. And I will say this. Now, Mac Jones is a first-round draft pick, so he has first-round draft pick privilege, okay? So he's going to play at some point in his career. But I do like when players get a small window of opportunity, and most often this happens with guys like me, seventh-round draft picks, undrafted free agent guys. You get that small window of opportunity. His was a couple of days where Cam was out, and you play so well, the team has to reevaluate what they're doing at that position. And again, Mac was always going to play, so the comparison is not completely great, Matt, because again, I was a seventh-round pick, and plenty of players like me that had that opportunity come up once, and we took advantage of it. He took advantage of a couple of days, and that's where we're sitting right now. Cam Newton is not an NFL roster. Brian Hoyer got released as well, so it's Mac Jones all the way. They'll obviously find a backup moving forward. But those are my takeaways from this. It's hard to deny that Cam's vaccination status didn't play a role at all. I know Belichick denied this happening as a reason why, but I mean, come on, like we're not naive.
It's so interesting. I think, my take on this until this conversation was, hey, Cam's just not that good anymore. Like, this isn't that surprising to me. But I think, to your point, Jeff, the reason that he was released and not just relegated to a backup role, I think there's more to do with it than maybe just like who's the best quarterback on the team. That's an interesting take. And just to sort of loop this conversation together with the next one. So you talked about Cam's vaccine status. Urban Meyer, the coach of the Jags, said the thing out loud that you're not supposed to say, which is he said that vaccine status played a role in some of the roster cuts for some of the guys on the fringes of the roster in Jacksonville. But hey, I mean, I guess like, were you surprised that somebody actually said that? Or I kind of felt like that was like not, that was sort of an open secret. But of course, Urban Meyer stepping in it, I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
He said the quiet part out loud, right? Which is funny because we've mocked Urban for not being honest at other points. And now he's honest and gets made fun of for being honest, right? And now the NFLPA is opening an investigation. And in the end, the NFLPA can't do anything about this because it's been hard to prove. And then the Jaguars have tried to walk it back. But we all knew this was happening. We all talked about this all offseason. And Urban to admit it, I mean, look, Urbs, dude, you're in the NFL. You're not at Ohio State. You can't say whatever you want and no one will challenge you. This is the NFL. And if a player feels like you chose him or you did not choose him over his vaccination status, he's going to look into pursue action, right? Grievances or be filed and whatnot. Again, how can you prove that, Matt? I have no idea. I mean, you have to go get their internal grades and figure out what the, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen. But the idea, again, is that he's bringing more unwanted attention onto Jacksonville. And I just don't think he quite gets the NFL and what it means yet.
That's clear. That is going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year. Jacksonville, it feels like it either just, they could go like 0-17 or they could catch lightning in a bottle. Like anything is, any outcome is possible with Jacksonville. I really enjoyed, and this is credit to, I think, Hank in our rundown here. Mike Florio suggested that the Pats should sign Cam Newton as Tom Brady's backup.
This is like the stupid, by the way, the ultimate middle finger to Tommy, to Belichick, would be for Brady to get the Bucs to sign Cam Newton as a backup quarterback.
It's a real tweet from Mike Florio.
What the hell, Mike? What is this show? Hey, Bill, screw you, man. We signed the guy you don't want to be our backup. Okay, congratulations. Okay, sign. We also want him to be our backup. Like, congratulations. I feel like something in Florio sometimes just like the wiring in the back just goes crazy. Like, I don't get like some of the tweets he puts out. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, there's maybe a time where he could maybe think about like, hey, should I count to five before I hit tweet, maybe think this one over, wrap my brain around it before it goes out there. I will say, though, I think Cam Newton would make an excellent Dallas Cowboy, potentially. He sort of fits Dak's kind of body type. Like, they're both kind of big and kind of mobile and kind of injured. Like, there's a lot of commonality there. But smart question for this podcast, Jeff. Mac Jones plus 600 for Rookie of the Year. I guess, like, are you taking the bet? And what do you think? Like, I kind of think he can come out of the gate pretty good. Like, they have a decent schedule. Obviously, like, they have the Bucks to worry about a few weeks in. Miami's their first game. That's a tough one, obviously. But, like, hey, I think he could be kind of good. I don't think Belichick would have ran with him if he didn't show him enough.
We're going to get into odds in a few minutes in the NFC West. And there's one I do like with the NFC West player to possibly win Rookie of the Year. So there's just not a lot of value in Mac Jones now anymore, right? I mean, there's just – It was much better when it was over 1,000, which, well, of course, he wasn't going to play. So that's partly why, right? So I'm passing on that, but I do think it's the second best Rookie of the Year option behind the guy we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Oh, all right. Well, good tease. Before we get to the NFL, let's look. I mean, college football, Jeff. We're starting with a bang. We've got huge games this week. Clemson, Georgia is one of them. I mean, It would be foolish not to address some of these games. So why don't we start there, Jeff? Clemson, who's coming into the season number 3.
Yes.
They're playing Georgia. Georgia's plus 130, Clemson minus 150. What should people be playing in this game?
Yeah, Clemson, Georgia in my backyard in Charlotte, which will be Saturday in the Duke's Mayo Kickoff Classic. I really missed the opportunity to be the Mayo ambassador here. It's sort of upsetting here, but look, I was actually leaning toward Georgia for a large part of the offseason, but I kind of have changed my opinion and going to Clemson here for a couple reasons. One is that Dabo Swinney in big games, playoff games, bowl games, AC championship games since 2012, he's covered and won 15 of 19 games. Like, he is a good big game coach. Yeah, pretty impressive, right? He is just a good big game coach. Both defensive lines really good. Brett Venables, obviously, the D coordinator for Clemson, has many months to prepare for this game. There's a lot of hope around Georgia's quarterback and JT Daniels, the transfer from USC. But when you look at his skill set, straight pocket passer, and in games nowadays, man, I mean, I know that Alabama has had that with Mac Jones, but they kind of don't play in the same offense. And, you know, offensively for Georgia, just it's hard. It's been hard to find explosive plays where I feel like Clemson offensively with DJ Ugalele, that name will just continue to befuddle me. But he is a spokesperson for Dr. Pepper now, too. So good for him. You know, he's more of a mobile quarterback. He played a little bit last season, right? He played against Notre Dame when Lawrence was out. So I think Clemson covers the 3. It was at 3.5. I feel much better, obviously, without that hook at 3. Do you have a lean? I know you're not diving into college football quite the same I am.
Yeah, I mean, no, it feels like a good take. I love that both these teams have this powerful of an out of conference game scheduled so early. This will be a good one for me to jump in and actually get started on my college football prep.
It's a power game. It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome, man.
This in week one.
Well, the second game. I mean, as someone who, you know, I sort of round into form on college. So as we get further along into the show, I'll hopefully be a little bit smarter on each of these. But I look at the next game that we were set to talk about here, UCLA, LSU. The last time I looked at UCLA, the Chip Kelly-led UCLA Bruins, like, this is not a team that anyone's super afraid of. LSU, they're ranked in the top 16 in the AP. They're number 14, it looks like, in the coaches' poll. This is only a 3-point spread here for LSU. I guess, obviously, with the turmoil in Louisiana, and if anyone's listening from there, we're thinking of you. But I guess I'm wondering, like, why is this one only a 3-point spread? Is there something I'm missing here?
Yeah, the Bruins are good. That's what you're missing. I bet UCLA plus 4. It's obviously at 3 now, and I'll take UCLA at 3 here for a multitude of reasons. One, this really is just an anecdote, but I think it tells you the mindset of UCLA. So when Chip Kelly was at Oregon, they were 46-7. They won a lot of football games. He wore a visor, all right?
Visor.
He didn't wear a visor at all the first 3 years at UCLA. Guess what's back? The visor. He knows this team is different, okay? They start 11 seniors on defense. 11 seniors.
Okay.
They're a veteran group on defense. Offensively, we saw last week, they pushed around Hawaii. Their quarterback was up and down. A little worrisome that Dorian Thompson-Robinson just you know, he's like a seventh year senior. He's got to be better. I'm hoping that his second half, his first drives of the third quarter were better. I'm hoping that that continues forward. LSU's defense last year, especially run defense, was atrocious. You have to hope that you know, that this year with kind of a new coordinator kind of folding back into the mix a little bit, they'll be better. And then obviously their secondary returns some players and brings some players back that set out last season. So there's a lot of hope that defense will be better. And I think they will be better for LSU. Miles Brennan was probably supposed to be their quarterback, but now Max Johnson's in because Brennan got hurt. And I do think the mindset after the hurricane must play a role in this, Matt, because you have a team that had to relocate out of Baton Rouge and do it very quickly, right? And now they're all of a sudden flying to Los Angeles in the next couple of days to play a UCLA team that already played a football game. And I do worry about the mindset. I mean, look, these are you know, they're young adults who haven't, you know, maybe had to deal with something like this in their lives before. So I do worry about that a little bit. But give me the Bruins here plus three. I actually would not be surprised if the Bruins just won this game.
Man, so basically I just heard that because Chip Kelly's wearing a visor and because UCLA has, Chip pointed this out, 16 players in grad school, that's the reason you're taking your old college coach and the Pac-12, who you're always a homer for, against a ranked SEC team?
I am very good at picking Pac-12 games. I have left out a couple Pac-12 games of my picks because I'm not sure anyone wants to hear me blab about Oregon State covering the 7 against Purdue, but I would take the Beavers plus 7 against Purdue. I'm about 56% in the Pac-12 the last 2 years. Like I don't bother this show with the Pac-12 because we have listeners from all over the place, and I'm just telling you, the Pac-12 is my bread and butter. I think the Bruins plus 3 here, I'm going with it.
All right. Well, 56% of the time, he's right 100% of the time, folks.
Exactly.
I am, for the record, I am an LSU. I would definitely be on LSU in this scenario, especially with the emotional storyline behind them. But one more game to talk about, Jeff. Alabama, Miami. What a great game to start the season. Yeah. Bama is a minus 1,100 money line favorite. The spread is 19.5. Man, Alabama again, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking Alabama. So here's a couple reasons why. Nick Saban opening weekend 11-2 against the spread. Dude can coach in opening games. But here's more the reason why. I mean, Miami and Alabama, are the talent discrepancy is very large, right? We know that. But Miami's quarterback Derek King can be very good. Right? There's no doubt about that. But when you're one-dimensional as offense, and for the most part they're pretty one-dimensional as an offense, Alabama shuts that down pretty quickly. Now, Alabama has trouble with running quarterbacks because, not running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, because guess what? I mean, that's every offense does, right? I mean, like every defense does. But I think that you look at the one-dimensional nature of Miami's offense, it's tough for me to think that they can score very much on Bama. On the flip side, I mean, Alabama just replaces five stars with five stars. Like, going to Bryce Young is not that big of a deal to me. Gets a Miami team whose defense improved last year, but just isn't good enough, in my opinion. I just like Bama here to roll early on. Can I sneak one more in very quickly?
Please.
San Jose State plus 14 at USC.
Ooh.
They blew out Southern Utah this past weekend. I don't really care about that game, but since late 2018, they're 15-5-1 against the spread under Coach Brett Brennan. They've covered 8 straight games as an underdog. They are a feisty team. They score a lot of points on offense, and they return the best offensive line in the Mountain West Conference. I get it's a Mountain West Conference, and they return the second best defensive line in that conference as well. And USC's problem is in the trenches. Now, defensively, they have Drake Jackson and Corey Foreman as a freshman. I'm not sure Corey's playing this game. I think he's hurt. But, I mean, they just don't have playmakers on defense as much. Offensively, look, they're going to score points, but you can really sit back on defense and just kind of hang out and just kind of bleed them to death. And they can't run the football. And their offensive line's terrible. I don't think San Jose State wins this game, but I think they cover. So I'm going with the Spartans here. So those are my picks for the week, including, by the way, the Beavers, plus 7. Beavers plus 7 there. All right, let's get to our division previews as we normally do. $1,000 to spend on each division. We have some leftover money. We gotta kind of figure that out next weekend. NFC or AFC West? Where are we starting?
Let's start with the NFC.
Let's do it.
So we're, as a reminder to folks, we go in order of the projected win totals. Really interesting ones here, Jeff. This NFC West is a great place to start. In the eyes of Vegas, the best division in football. And interestingly, that's the team. Two teams have 10.5 wins as their total. The 49ers, let's do them first. They are 10.5. I said mentioned their win total. The over, you have to lay -105, under -115. +180 to win the division, -225 to make the playoffs, +175 to miss. I know this is a team you're really high on. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So to me, the wager I'm going to make on this team, I'm not quite sure about the over, but I think Trey Lance, rookie of the year, is the one bet. And I said this when he was drafted. And we're going to see him. Yeah. And we're going to see him playing a lot, right? We saw the last preseason game, right? They were putting him in there a little bit more. They had some packages for him. He was rotating with the ones. He's +750 here. He's going to play in early on this season. And I think they know he's not quite ready yet. So they're going to work him in certain spots, Matt, to get him more comfortable to play. And when he's ready to take over, this offense was going to take off. We know that when Jimmy G is healthy, this team wins a lot of football games. They've won a lot of games when he's healthy. And I think if Shanahan feels that Trey Lance is good enough to take over for Jimmy Garoppolo, he trusts that they're going to win a lot of games with Trey Lance as well, right? Really good offensive personnel. Defensively, you have to worry a little bit about the back end, the secondary. But I would take Trey Lance rookie of the year and possibly division champs. I think division champs +180 is the way to go if you're looking at the team wager.
Interesting. I have gone back and forth on the 49ers probably more than any team in the league this preseason. One thing, until a few days ago when I heard the news about Trey Lance, he has a fracture in his hand. It looks like it's short term. He's only going to miss a week, they say. But every week counts, I think, for him. Trey Lance, I agree. Like, Kyle Shanahan was the coach of my team when RG3 was a rookie. They have similar skill sets, just electric athletes. You played against RG3 as a member of the Vikings that year. Like, something happens. Like, it was just a special confluence. I think that could happen with Trey Lance. The problem is, if Trey Lance succeeds as a rookie, like, I don't think we all collectively understand the degree of difficulty for him. He opted out of last season. He played one game as in an exhibition, I think, against Central Arkansas. In 2019, he started 16 games. In 2018, he only played in 2 games. So, like, this guy just hasn't played a lot of football.
Right,
and
right.
To ask him to come out of – we saw this with Ja'Marr Chase this preseason where it was just like, wait a second. Like, why can't this guy get it together? Maybe opting out of a season. Rashawn Slater, there's some worries about that too. Like, maybe sitting out for a season makes it a little bit harder for him to check in. So, everything makes sense to me, but I've been sort of like checking myself and my own expectations about Trey Lance for those reasons. I actually, believe it or not, I'm going to lean on the under on San Francisco.
Here, interesting.
The reason is there's so many things that could go wrong for them, I think, where everyone is sort of projecting their best case scenario instead of their worst case. And every year, for 8 straight seasons, they have been in the bottom 12 for adjusted games lost. Thanks to Warren Sharp for that one. They are injured all the time. And you look at the key players on their team, Garoppolo and Lance, history and already injured. Bosa, Kittle, Ayuk, Samuel, Trent Williams, Mostert, all have injury problems. And those are some of the key guys on the team. And the other thing, Jeff, and this blew me away. The 49ers are overrated in the eyes of the public all the time. Last year, they were 7-9 against the spread. The year they went to the Super Bowl, they were only 9-7 against the spread. Everybody loves to bet on them because they're so fun. They have such a good coach. Like, it just seems, it makes sense that they should be good. And when you look at Shanahan, I know they've had a bunch of injuries, but they've just gotten older. Since he's been the head coach, 6-10, 13-3, 4-12, 6-10. The last 3 years, they were 4-11 against the spread as home favorites. They're a team that lets bettors down. I know that that's a little oversimplified. I know that the 49ers are amazing, but I kind of think fading them is not a bad play.
I get what you're saying, but the issues they've had the last couple of years have been because Jimmy Garoppolo has been hurt. Because when he played one season, they made the Super Bowl, right? And now you hopefully mitigate that with bringing in Trey Lance. Like, that's the point of that move, right? Is you bring in Trey Lance and you mitigate some of those issues with your backup quarterback. I mean, with Jimmy G being hurt. Look, I'm not really worried about whether they cover games or not, right? Because if I take division champs plus 180, that's you know, they don't care. They win games. They just need to win football games. They've beaten the Rams four straight games. Like, they have owned Sean McVay. So if this is a division where it's down to the Rams and Niners, I get the Niners with a better roster. A quarterback, you know, could be a question if Trey Lance is playing at some point. But a coach I really like, and a team that has kind of ownage on the other team. So what do you want to do anything with the Niners? Do you feel good about any? Do we both feel good about anything?
Well, to that point, Jeff, the Seahawks kind of own the 49ers since 2013. The 49ers have won two of the games since 2013 and lots of some playoff matchups in there, too.
They all kind of own each other.
Yeah.
it's kind of some weird thing happening here.
You won't be in on this. I almost think that plus 175 for them to miss the playoffs is actually kind of a decent bet. Because, again, if Trey Lance is not, we're pricing them in at their absolute ceiling. If Trey Lance isn't ready, which if he is ready, and I personally think he will be, but let's just say that a guy who's played, you know, one season of one AA football isn't going to be the best rookie and a top 10 quarterback in the league right away. If that doesn't happen, there's a pretty good chance that in the NFC West, the 49ers could go 8-9. Like, I don't think that's crazy.
I actually agree with you on this. I actually think the bet is, I think the Niners are making the playoffs, but I think the best value bet is actually not making the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this division with two other playoff teams in it, and they're the ones who are the favorites. That. I think people just like them.
I think that is, the logic makes sense, even though I don't really necessarily agree with that per se, but I think that the logic for, if we're looking for Niners wager, that's actually some good value on the Niners, which I'm trying to teach you guys.
I agree. I mean,
you want to get to the Rams now?
Yeah, because I kind of feel like they're the mirror image. Like, I feel like everyone's kind of out on the Rams. The Rams are another 10.5 win total. They're plus 110 for the over, minus 130 for the under. They are plus 190 to win the division. Reminder, the 49ers are plus 180, minus 200 to make the playoffs, plus 160 to miss it. So a little bit of a mixed signaling there. From Vegas. What do you think?
This is a team that's kind of a stay away team for me because I don't know what they're going to be, Matt, right? With Matt Stafford, no preseason reps, I don't know what he's going to be in this offense. There's a lot of hope for him, right? And he's talked a lot about playing in big games now and what he wants to do in these games. And people have anointed him a top 6-8 quarterback all of a sudden, like after a couple years where he wasn't that way. Defensively, they're going to have some regression, right? Staley is gone as their DC and just naturally have some regression. Matt, I don't know what to make of the Rams this year. I really, they're one team, man. I have no read. I could see them winning 10 games. I could see them winning 8 games. I could see them winning 12 games. I have no read on them.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this is basically, I think I backed into my 49ers take because of how I feel about the Rams. I think the Rams self-scouted and said, we're a quarterback away. And if you remember last season, they came out, they were 9-4. They had beaten the Bucs on the road, and then things just fell apart. They lost that weird game to the Jets, and then Jared Goff just kind of lost it. They were throwing a bunch. Then John Wolford came in, and then we forget this. The Rams still won a playoff game with Jared Goff throwing with a broken thumb in Seattle. Like, they were still a really good team last year. They still, like the 49ers, they do have a pretty good schedule because they play the AFC South and the NFC North. I don't think that Matt Stafford has to go be Tom Brady. I think Matt Stafford can be Matt Stafford, and this team will absolutely cruise to at least 10 wins. Like, they're going to throw the ball constantly. I get that the Cam Akers thing sucks, but like, they've already made a plan to remedy it. I get that they're a little bit top heavy in some spots, but like, their formula is not that complicated. They have a great coach. They throw the ball a lot in a wide open offense, and they have Aaron Donald. Like, I don't know. Like, this doesn't seem that hard to me for them to get to 10 wins or 10.5.
I'm with you. Like, the logic is good, but like, I just feel like, the Stafford thing is really interesting because I think Stafford's really talented, but haven't we like gone in the overhyping direction? Like, I'm just so like, it just feels like we've over, maybe you haven't, but like the national consensus is overhyping Stafford because he's not Jared Goff, which I agree, he's better. But man, I feel like it's just the hype is crazy.
But what does he have to do for this to go over 10 and a half wins? Like, I guess it depends on your read on Seattle and Arizona, but like to
Arizona under will be my favorite bet of this division. Just letting you know right now.
I'm a fan of that. I mean, okay. I just think that if I look,
so you basically have Rams, Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals.
Well, we'll get to the Seahawks. I don't know what to do with the 49ers, right? The 49ers, it's, you could tell me that the 49ers went 14-3 and were the best team in football, and I wouldn't be shocked. The Rams, you could say the same thing too, I think, but I just don't see a world. If Jared Goff were on this team, the number would still be 10.5, I think, honestly. So I think that Stafford, I get it, the national media has made way too much of a big deal out of this, but I don't think it's reflected in
the number. So I think the point you're trying to make, and I actually now looking at it, I think you're right here. So, okay, so their win total is 10.5. They've won under McVay. They've won 11, 13, 9, and 10. Now you add an extra game and a better quarterback.
Yep.
Oh, that's actually pretty simple, right?
It is. I mean, they've lost some pieces. They lost some pieces in the secondary, but they drafted well.
Let's go Rams over.
Let's go. I just think we're not going to regret that.
So that's the simplest way to make your point, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Now I do expect some defensive regression. I feel like the defensive regression is going to happen. I think it's offset by Stafford.
Yeah, fine. And it's like they're still going to be good. Like it's not like they're going to go from first to worst. Like they'll still be good.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the Seahawks.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on those too. I think these are going to move along a little bit quicker here. Seattle, their win total is 10, even split on the over and the under, plus 275 for the division, minus 140 to make, 115, plus 115 to miss. Russell Wilson MVP, plus 1,400, Jeff. What do you think of the Seahawks?
I'm not doing that. I feel like they're going to be the same team they always are, right? Like right around 9-10 wins. They're going to play those ugly games they play. And we're going to be like, how they win this game or how they lose this game. And they're just going to be the same team that they've been. They won 12 games last year, which is kind of high when you think about some of the games they played. And they won 11 the year before, 10-9, 10-10, 12-13, 11 with Wilson. They made the playoffs every year but one of those seasons. And I think they're going to be right around the 10 win total.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually love them plus 275 to win the division. When there's three really good teams, why not pick the one that's almost 3-1? I like Seattle. Look, last year they had two seasons and one. The offense was great in the first half, and the defense sucked, and then that just flipped. While Brian Schottenheimer may not have been the problem, it seems Wilson's happier with this Waldron guy, which I think honestly means a lot. I would sprinkle a little bit on plus 1,400 for Wilson to win the MVP. He's going to do it at some point. He's never missed a game. They've never gone under 500 with him as the quarterback. I think the 10 wins is a very modest total for how good their offense is.
Interesting. So 10 division champs, plus 275. Playoffs, yes, 140. No, plus 115. I'm not touching Russell Wilson MVP. I don't think that's going to happen.
By the way, their season starts. We've talked a lot about their first game against Indianapolis, which looks like a total gift. Then they have Tennessee, which is another team with a COVID issue. That's at home. And by the way, is there a team in the NFL that's going to have a better adjustment back with fans than Seattle? Like Seattle's fans are going to give them again that advantage that they've always had. They come out Indianapolis, Tennessee, Minnesota. Like they could come out 3-0 before two games against the Rams and the 49ers and then the Rams.
So you want to go division champs here, you think?
I think so. And they also play Jacksonville, Houston, Chicago, Detroit, Arizona twice in the second half.
I'm good with that.
Added Gabe Jackson.
Plus what?
275.
Okay.
It's a pretty good number, right? So, I'm scared. I'm talking you into too much. I'm scared if I'm leading
no,
us astray.
Because the next one, I mean, I might as well put all the $1,000 on this one because the Cardinals are not winning
8.5
over 8.5 games.
Yeah, minus 120 for the under, plus 650 to win the division.
Look, so we talk a lot about the preseason, the process of the preseason. the Cardinals look like poo again on offense, right? Like, it wasn't very hard to see. Kyler Murray, I think Kyler Murray can be good, but not with Kingsbury as his coach. That's just ridiculous. Like, they're poorly coached in a very tough division, and Kingsbury is not a good coach. Like, I keep saying that many times over. Their roster's okay. It's not that they have a terrible roster, but with a coach that doesn't know how to use their roster, what does it matter if that roster's any good? So we have a bunch of good teams in this division, and they're not that way. I'm out. Again, I think they have good pieces, right? They have Chandler Jones, obviously, and Hop, and they got Rodney Hudson at center, Buda Baker, Byron Murphy. They have pieces. Zaven Collins looked good in the preseason. Isaiah Simmons has been a bust so far. But I just don't trust this offense at all, Matt, at all. So we have Niners no playoffs, Rams over 10, Seattle division champs, and Cardinals under 8.5. How do you want to allocate $1,000 here? I feel like we need to be heavy on the Cardinals. And Cardinals, I feel like Cardinals or Rams, we should be more heavy on their totals than the no playoffs and division champs.
Yeah. And we can always sprinkle on that Seattle defensive champs. Like, we don't have to go too far in on that if that's 3-1. And the 49ers no playoffs isn't one that you love. That's another little bit of a shot. Why don't we go big on the Cardinals? Why don't we do 500 on that?
Okay, I'm with you there. And then we'll do like you want to do like 250 on Rams over 10.5, then 150, 125 on the other ones?
Yeah, done.
Okay, done. Okay, done.
Nice.
$1,000 spent. All right, let's get to my favorite wager of the entire, I think the entire offseason, preseason, whatever you want to call it. My favorite total of the entire happens right now with the team run by Andy Reid.
The Chiefs total is 12.5 plus 110 to go over, yeah, which I'm thinking we are. Minus 250 to win the division, minus 1,000 to make the playoffs, plus 250 to win the conference, plus 500 to win the Super Bowl, plus 450 for the best record. What are we taking?
Okay, so Pat Mahomes dislocated his knee, if you remember, in 2019, right? 2019 season. He came back against the Tennessee Titans. They lost that game, all right? Since that game, they've played 26 times. How many of the 26 games have they lost?
There are four.
You think four?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Games they lost with Pat Mahomes starting. So I had to reiterate that because they lost last year, week 17. I'm not counting that game.
Right.
They played 28 games where Mahomes has started
the quarterback. What were they? 13-3? So two. I don't know. It's, yeah, probably four, five, six.
Two whole games.
Holy hell.
Yeah. They ran the table in 2019 after he came back, right? They won the rest of the games down the stretch and then won the Super Bowl. They lost one game to the Raiders last year, 40-32, and to Tampa Bay. That's it. Huh. They played 26 games, I'm sorry, in that time span. They're 24-2 in that time span. 24-2. I actually wrote this wrong. Oh, no, I wrote this wrong in my article. No, I did write it right. 26 games. Okay, perfect. I'm writing an article for the season. I had some numbers in there. So, guys, all they do is win football games. And most often, even though the numbers didn't show it last year because some of the games were close, a lot of these games aren't even close. Like, the Chiefs just bullshitted the end of games last year to make these games closer than they should have been, right? They're up 30-10 in Miami against the Dolphins to win that game 33-27, right? They're up in the Panthers game by 9 with under 2 minutes left, allow a bullshit touchdown. That game's much closer than it has to be, right? Like, they're up against New Orleans. I think it was, what was the New Orleans game? They're up by 2 scores at some point in that game, and that game ended up being 3 points. Because the Saints scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, right? Like, yeah, it was 29-14 in the fourth quarter. Chiefs were leading. Like, these games aren't really close. The final score might seem close, but the Chiefs are just bullshitting the entire time. And they fixed their offensive line. They did a remarkable job fixing their offensive line. There are some issues at defensive end. They're lacking some depth at pass rush, but their young secondary players are good. They need a number 2 wide receiver still. I'm not really worried about that. I'm over here at the 12.5. Bang it.
I'm in. Since Andy Reid's been in KC, they've gone over their preseason win total every single season. I love that stat. Look, they have a very motivated number two receiver due to some words from media members disparaging the lack of a number two receiver in Kansas City. I don't know if you heard about that story, Jeff Schwartz.
I haven't heard. I hope that guy is really good at his job, though, because if he is, he might be a new motivational speaker.
I know that he looks great in a gray muscle shirt, whoever he is. I'm with you. Like last year, you're right. They kind of reminded me of the Warriors the year Kevin Durant got there, where they were just like, look, who cares? Like, we'll just beat the Panthers. Like, we're not super worried about it. Part of that, I think, dude, is they couldn't ice games because they didn't have a running game. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't great last year, and now they have a totally new offensive line to help pave the way for him up front. I think Clyde's going to have a bigger year as a result because they're going to have to ice some of these games when they're up 20. I'm with you. I like this over. I feel like it's actually a pretty modest total, and we benefit from the odds makers not setting a 13 as a total because it seems so weird.
I also think that Mahomes MVP at plus 500 is a good wager here. I mean Josh Allen, I guess, but Allen had his best season last year. He's gonna do the same season again.
I mean, it's Mahomes' to lose every year. Just like, you know, how some years it just feels like it's whatever. It was Tom Brady's to lose for a long time.
I'm going
to
put Mahomes in here. We can decide whether or not we want to put money on this, but I feel like that's my favorite for that as well.
Yeah.
There really is no value in betting them to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs' best record at plus 450. I mean,
I don't love it.
You don't because of Tampa?
Well, I guess if we're taking him over, then that's probably smart. It's like, is someone going to go better than 13-4?
But you're basically betting the same bet, right? Essentially,
yeah. Like that's, with better odds.
With better odds, Chiefs' best record. Yeah. I'll stick with the over for now.
No, I like that. Let's throw that in there. I think that's good. I mean, whatever. So, we can be overexposed on the Chiefs being good. That's fine.
All right, I'm gonna put this down here, and we'll see what we want to spend all our money on. Because I think there's some of these teams like I don't really have a great Chargers take as we get to the Chargers now.
I know. Well, I was hoping you would because I don't either. Their 9.5 is their win total, evenly split on the over and the under. Plus 450 to win the division. Please do not bet that. Plus 105 to make the playoffs, 125 to miss.
They're the freaking Chargers. How do you bet on the Chargers? Like, you just can't, right? I mean, I think they can be good, but they have a first-year head coach. They didn't play all in the preseason. What the hell are they on offense? I have no idea. Herbert last year was very good under pressure. And on third down, which are stats that typically are not reliable year in and year out, right? Those fluctuate, and his numbers were so high, you can't expect it to probably continue next year. So he has room to improve, especially in the pocket, as I just kind of mentioned, being around the bush there for a second. So to me, there's some improvement I want to see in Herbert. A new offense now, they upgrade their offensive line, and Rashawn Slater's played great defensively. Derwin James is healthy. I mean, like, it's they have some pieces there, but this is a straight stay the heck away from me.
I think they're going to come out of the gate a little bit slow. You mentioned the preseason and just sort of the lack of the playing time. But remember that Justin Herbert didn't have to face road crowds in Arrowhead in, you know, the first week of the season. I mean, say what you will about my fellow Washington football team fans, but he's going to have to go to Washington week one at 10 a.m. Pacific to like a home opener. Let's see how that goes against a real defense. Then, you know, like they'll open their home stadium against Dallas, but then they've got at Kansas City, they're at Baltimore, they're at Philly, they're at Denver. Like these are hard games that they're going to have to deal with a new head coach who like is another one of these guys. Like they haven't worked that often when you look at these guys plucked from a young coach's coaching tree who are just sort of like the next man up. The Chargers, whatever, they always have some sort of curse looming over them. Hopefully Brandon Staley can shake it. I just don't really have a read on them. I feel like their total's close. They're probably a playoff team if Herbert improves, but they kind of scare me for some reason.
I think they're one of the guys that we can, one of the teams that we can kind of see the season goes on and hit some props depending on how they kind of look. Now, we might not get the best value on those, but I think the Chargers, again, have the talent to do good things, but they're the freaking Chargers, Matt. I can't put money on them.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, that's another one where it just feels like everyone's assuming that things are going to go well. Like, let's see how Austin Eckler does as like the only back in the backfield. Like, we haven't seen that work yet. Like, let's see, you know, Rashawn Slater come off of a year of not playing football and slide him as a starting tackle and see how he does. Like there's a lot that needs to go right here. It just feels like a stay away to me.
I'm with you. Let's get to the next team.
Yeah. Another fascinating team, Denver. 8.5 is their total now. They're minus 150 to go over. Wow. Plus 120 to go under, plus 600 to win the division, plus 120 to make the playoffs, minus 150 to miss. You could have any opinion about this team, and I'd find it at least possible.
Yeah, this is a really interesting team. They have the covering king and Teddy Bridgewater as their starting quarterback, which is delightful. And I think week one, I bet them to cover the Giants and beat the Giants. I think that they're gonna
let's lock that in.
Yeah, let's lock that one in for our week one contest. But you know, when you look at betting on a Teddy Bridgewater led team to go over, it's hard to do that for me, right? Like, they have the fourth best quarterback in the division. They might have a good roster, good defense, good offensive line, good running game, but I just can't do it. I can't bet on the fourth best quarterback in the division to go over.
It feels like the Broncos have built a team that reminds me a lot of the Bucs in the Winston year, the last Winston year, where it was clear yes. that all they needed was a quarterback. Like yes. it was almost telegraphed. The Bucs that year went 7-9. I could see the Broncos doing something similar. I mean, I will say, Jeff, last year, not a great situation for Teddy in Carolina, obviously. He was 4-11 there as the starter. In Minnesota and New Orleans, his record, if you exclude last year, was 22-12 as a starter. So I gotta say, like, I think that he is capable of taking them to the playoffs in, like, you know, the Alex Smith role. The good version of that Jameis Bucks team role where it's like he gets something done for you, but he's clearly like not the long-term answer. I love that they went with Teddy over Locke. Yeah. I think that this Javonte Williams kid is going to be awesome. It's clear that they really like him. Their defense, I can't believe how many good players in the secondary they have. It's insane. So I lean over, but I hate it. It's like, why am I going to bet on Teddy Bridgewater? Like, can't we use our money somewhere else? Like, I don't know.
And that's the problem. I mean, to your point, right? I'd rather spend all the money on Kansas City because I feel very comfortable in doing that than another team.
Throw some more on Arizona under.
I'm good. I'm way good with that. All right, we got one more team left.
Yeah.
In the division.
Another confounding one.
I might just. Go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, it's the Raiders, obviously. Their win total 7, minus 120 over, plus 100 under, plus 2200 to win the division. I feel like we should just bet on that because why not? Plus 400 to make the playoffs. Damn, not a lot of respect for this Raiders team.
I want to just take the under just to piss off Raider fans. Just for fun because they hate me and they have the worst roster in this division. They have a coach who routinely does much worse at the end of the season. I mean, it's like it's amazing. His winning record in December is under 400. I mean, under 40%, I should say. Defensively, yeah, they've added some pieces, but still pretty much a disaster. Offensively, they're going to be good, but I can't bet the under here. I just would piss off Raiders fans. I'm just not on the Raiders much this year. I don't know what wager we can make where I feel good about about the Raiders.
I wish I had a better take for this team. I just don't. I mean, I was trying to craft some argument to say that we should go over with them, but they start Baltimore at Pitt, Miami at Chargers, and then week 5 Chicago, which feels like the time where Fields will be coming in and catching fire. They're just an uninspiring team, and I think honestly, like, if anyone's going to get the hook this year, it's going to be Mayock. They have a roster problem. I know that Gruden probably has a big hand in that, but like, I don't know. Even just the way they construct their team, dude, like bringing in Kenyon Drake, like that was a big loss for Arizona, I think. We didn't really talk about, but like, what are you doing? Like, that's maybe one of the strengths of your team is you've got Josh Jacobs and now you're overpaying for a guy who can catch out of the backfield. And then you lose Nelson Agholor, who was actually good for you last year. It just seems a little bit strange how they've gone about building their team. It just feels like they're treading water. I lean to the over for them, though. I think that seven is doable. You could easily see the other two teams in this division besides the Chiefs falling apart. I lean over, but not enough to actually put much on it.
There's a bet here that I found. Raiders under 8.5, not to make the playoffs, finish fourth in the AFC West, and Waller has 4+ touchdowns at -110.
-110 for all of them?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Here's one that's interesting. Derek Carr over 4,250.5 passing yards, and Josh Jacobs over 1,100.5 rushing yards. So last year, Jacobs had 1,065. And that it's in 15 games. Now they have 17 games. And Carr had 4,103. So he's just about 150 yards short of that number. That's +500. Not the worst wager.
Huh. That's not bad. How about this one? An AFC West team to win the AFC and an NFC West team to win the NFC for +550. So that's basically the Chiefs to win the AFC and someone that's not the Bucks to win the NFC. The Bucks or the Packers.
Too many options for the NFC, I feel like.
Yeah, it's, I don't love that.
I do like, I mean, Chiefs-Rams win the division +310.
I mean, what are the Rams to win their division? They're +200 or something? Like, that doesn't feel like good enough.
Yeah, they're Rams in division +290, yeah. So we don't really have much in this. All we have is Chiefs, and Chiefs. So we have Chiefs over 12.5, Mahomes MVP and Chiefs best record. Is there anything else in this division that you feel comfortable doing?
Hey, maybe we can look up a Jerry Jeudy prop. I kind of feel like Jerry Jeudy might go off, or the Javonte Williams.
So Javonte Williams, I have here as, what's his number? This is the too many. This is the, not really his. What do you have for Jerry Jeudy? It's hard to find some of these. Not all these books have them.
It is. I just think, while we look this up, I do really think that Javonte Williams, the fact that they didn't play him in the preseason at the end of it just said something to me. I think that that's going to be one of all the rookie running backs. Like, there's a lot of talk about Trey Sermon and all that stuff.
What number do you have on him?
I'm looking for one.
Because they released Royce Freeman today.
It's
hard to find some of these individual props.
Yeah, Jeudy we've got for 920. Which feels very low. I would definitely lean the over there. I think Jeudy's flying a little under the radar because people think Sutton's just going to come back, but Sutton does not look all the way back to me.
How many yards they have for him?
920 for Jeudy, and 800 for Javonte Williams. I would take the over in those.
I would take the one over in Williams one.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. Okay.
I think the Jeudy one's good too. A thousand yard season for a number one target on a good offense. Like,
what do you get? Williams over 800.
Yeah, let's do that.
And then Jeudy, I'll put Jeudy in there too.
Williams would need 47 yards a game to go over that.
Oh, that's not much. And 920 for Jeudy.
Yeah, Jeudy would need 54 yards a game to go over that. It just doesn't seem that difficult. I have a feeling some of these player props are the overs this year are going to cash a little bit easier than they would most years because it's hard to handicap with the extra.
So we have Chiefs over 12.5, Mahomes to win the MVP. We'll do 100 on MVP for Mahomes. Chiefs best record 100, and then we'll do 300 on the Chiefs then we'll do 200 on these William 250 on Williams over and Jeudy over. How about that?
Sounds good, man.
It's $1,000 spent very wisely. All right, guys. The Chiefs over is my favorite play of the year, by the way, if you haven't noticed that. So, and maybe the Arizona under, both combined. I wish we could wager on that. Chiefs over, Arizona under, parlay together. Do a Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You parlay with any sports book, preferably one that I do work with on another network, wants to sponsor that wager for me. That'd be much easier for my life. So if you're listening, FanDuel, let me know. And if you want to do a Jeff Schwartz wager at all this season. So, all right, guys. Matt, we're almost there, buddy. Next week, we'll have one more episode to wrap up all of this. We'll kind of go over, like, we got to go over, are we changing New England bets? We're looking at the Saints bets differently now. Is his quarterback the Bears? So we have some things to talk about to wrap it up. We'll do that next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy college football. Take care.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.